A lot of people with disabilities don't like to be looked at as inspirational just for living their lives, but it happens a lot. My name is Nate, and that's why this podcast is called We're the Inspiration. On this show, people with disabilities get to tell their own stories, but with me, a wheelchair user as host, they also control how they're told, which is to say not in a way designed to inspire others. They're just real and hopefully entertaining. Recently, I found an article written by a deaf woman who said that she can speak, but she doesn't like to. And I'll post that article on the show's Facebook page. But when I did that on my personal page, a friend said, "This hits home for me because my mother-in-law is deaf, and I'm sometimes a hearing person in a deaf world." We've talked about her son before. This is actually her third appearance. Nikki Guthrie, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be back.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited about this episode. I love talking about everyone in my family. That sounds so funny. I'm really interested for everyone to hear about my mother-in-law.
This is something that I would not have known about you unless you brought it up. Kind of the same way as you brought up your son, as I sort of shared the concept of my show in a whole group. But this is a little more specific than that. So,
exactly. I guess when you're part of the deaf community, in a sense, it becomes normal to you. And then when you see a friend who shares an article that somewhat relates to that person, and you're like, oh, yes, I probably should talk about this because it seems just normal about my everyday life. Well, my mother-in-law being deaf, I just see her as her. And then I'm like, oh, that's right. She is hearing impaired. And you don't even think about it.
I think it's important for people to know that that sort of applies across the board with disabilities. Like, the more you're exposed to it, the more you don't even think about it.
That's very true. You become an expert almost on it, and it's just part of your life so much that you don't have to really get shocked when you see something about it, because that's a part of who you are.
This is a lofty goal of mine, but I always say that this podcast is for everyone when I am asked who the target audience is. Because if you have a disability, you're probably going to get a kick out of it. But if
that
you,
is very true.
but if you don't have a disability, you're probably going to learn something from it. So, you know, this could go to both sides. But I think what we're talking about so far is the people without disabilities learning. And you don't have one of your own, a disability that is. But you do have a son with one, which we've talked about a couple times.
Yes.
And you've learned in a different way about a different disability through having a mother-in-law in the deaf community.
That's right. It seems almost normal to me now. When someone says this is a disability, I'm like, this is just my family. So when it comes to things like, if I'm talking about Gloria, who is hearing impaired, I'm like, yes, or my son that may be autistic. Yes. It's just so normal to me that I almost forget to be an advocate for them at times. Does that make sense?
It sort of does. I mean, you know, I like to think I'm an advocate myself.
Yes.
For myself, for the most part. But I've sort of had to advocate for other people as well. But there are two different kinds of people that I hang out with as far as maybe advocating for me. I know I've been in situations where people sort of talk about me through other people, even though I'm sitting right there.
And yes, that's very awkward.
That's a weird experience. But that's the best example I can give. Like, there are two different reactions to that. Either people say, you know, you can talk directly to him, right? Or
yes,
they just run with it and we just kind of make fun of it afterwards.
That's what I would do. When you can find humor in this stuff, and strangers who are not used to this kind of life, like, how can you laugh at something like that? They think it's so shocking. And I'm like, why are you not laughing? It's normal. You know, we're just used to that. And you find the humor in everything. And I don't want to talk about my son too much, but it reminds me of this one instance where he got frustrated with his speech therapist and told her to go take a crap in a dump truck. I thought it was hilarious when you have a child who is autistic, who does not lie and is very open, Like, you get used to the stuff, and it's also very shocking. But for someone to hear that, they'd be like, "Why did you allow that?" I'm like, "He's autistic. He's just saying what he feels." And I'm like, even though it's not totally appropriate, but funny little things like that, I really keep a hold on. It's one of my favorite memories, but that poor therapist. I apologize endlessly to her, but we both had a good laugh out of it.
I don't know what to make of that one, but you can't stop certain people from speaking their minds for sure.
You cannot. And that's one thing that's so important about tonight's episode is, what if you don't have a voice to speak your mind? What do you do?
Well, let's start from the beginning because you said, I don't remember if it was before we started recording, but you did say that your mother-in-law lost your hearing over time.
She was born deaf
Okay.
because her mother contracted scarlet fever while she was pregnant with her, and she was actually born deaf, so she doesn't know anything else.
Okay.
And I need to say that my mother-in-law is Puerto Rican. She was born in Puerto Rico, born and raised, full-on Puerto Rican. So you have to think, even though Puerto Rico is a part of the United States, they still have their own little community, their own government, and it's not quite as advanced as we are here. It's a very poor country. And for someone to hear, "Oh, someone had scarlet fever," that seems like ancient, but no, it still happens. And that's how my mother-in-law became deaf.
Also, let's not forget, this was two generations ago.
Yes. And this was a very long time ago.
Yeah.
I love my mother-in-law. She's not incredibly elderly. I mean, she's in her 50s. So this was a while ago, but not incredibly long.
No, but for example, I had somebody who is a survivor of polio on. Right around the end of last year. He was an actor. He was actually playing FDR
Oh,
on,
wow.
yeah, in, I don't know if you saw the live musical version of Annie that they did on NBC
I
last
did
year.
not see that.
Well, I had the guy that played FDR on the show, like right
Wow.
before it came out. I feel like what you're saying about Scarlet Fever sort of applies to polio as well.
It does.
It's been eradicated, theoretically, but then again, this is a person in their 70s that contracted it when he was three, so.
I'm a big musical fan myself, so that would be so exciting for me to meet that person. I would be like,
Yeah,
I'm just geeking out. I can't believe I haven't watched that. I'll have to watch it.
it's probably on Peacock because they put everything on Peacock.
I'm sure it is. I could talk about what it's like being a hearing person, being married to into a family. You're not used to a deaf member. You get married and you're thrown into this family that's part of the deaf community, and just the shock of seeing all of it unfold. It's pretty incredible how tight the deaf community is. They almost seem to all know each other. They go to conventions together. They're like a big family themselves. And it was really incredible marrying my husband and get put into this community. Well, they're so welcoming, no matter who you are.
I know we're trying to talk about something more specific than this, but I feel like as far as specific disabilities sort of creating that sort of familial vibe, I think we all do it. For me, it's for the most part just anybody else in a wheelchair, no matter what their disability is. Like
Seems like family.
if I see someone else in a wheelchair, just looking at them, I have a pretty good idea of why they're in one.
Yes, you just pick up on it. I understand that as well, where just being out in public and raising a child that is autistic, I can sense other autistic people.
Sure.
It's something you just pick up on. As far as the deaf community, it's pretty easy to see because there's a very big stigma on deafness. You can be hard of hearing and still be deaf. So someone may be talking to you verbally. How can you be deaf if you're speaking to me? It does not mean that they cannot speak at all. You may be hard of hearing and still be deaf. And that's something that really needs to be known.
There are a lot of people that wear hearing devices, and
Yes.
should they turn them off, they can't hear you at all.
Yes, there is a big stigma in the deaf community about hearing aids. And they feel like it's taking away of who they are, and they don't want to change themselves, which is also a big thing in, I would say, the disabled community itself. We're not trying to stop the disability, just trying to help in any way. But if you're deaf and you feel like wearing a hearing aid, someone is telling you that it's wrong that you can't hear. So although they might be able to hear with the hearing aid, they feel like they don't need to change themselves to better society to make them seem more normal.
What do they call those things? The cochlear implant?
The cochlear implant, yes, they have a very bad reputation in the deaf community. It's even worse because it's literally surgically implanted to be able to hear, and a lot of deaf people refuse to get those. They think they're absolutely terrible.
I can't say I blame them. I mean, I don't know a lot about that particular device, but just as someone who's disabled at all, I've had a lot of experience with surgery I didn't think I needed. And a
Yes.
lot of it didn't turn out very well. So.
I think that's their fear as well, as not just the fear of going under surgery, but the fear that someone's wanting them to change who they are. And you shouldn't have to if you don't want to.
I'm trying to think if there's a comparison to another disability of that level. I don't know that I can think of one because, there are people that get temporarily paralyzed and, they can
Yes.
start walking again, but I don't think there's that same stigma when that happens.
I don't think there's anything even close. And if you take someone who, for instance, is in a car wreck and loses their leg, they're probably going to want to get a some kind of prosthetic leg, but they weren't born that way. When you have someone who was born a certain way and then someone telling you, you need to change the way this wasn't an accident, this is just you, I can understand why you don't want to change. And I don't think there's any comparison.
So let's talk about first meeting your mother-in-law. Did you get a heads up that she was deaf?
Well, let's take into account this was 13 years ago, so I'll try to remember the best I can. I'm fairly sure that my husband, which was my boyfriend at the time, told me she was deaf. We didn't get along too well at the time. She was not too happy with me, so there wasn't a whole lot of communication, just a little bit of a look, and we didn't only saw each other randomly. So I'm pretty sure I knew. But we are so close now, but to think about back then and us not being very close, it's almost hysterical.
Why didn't she like you?
I'm not 100% on that. I think it was because we were so young. My husband, which was my boyfriend at the time, was only 19. I was 21. I don't think they agreed of us just becoming a couple so fast, moving so fast, and I think it had a lot to do with the age.
Guess she got over it over time.
She did. It took a lot of years of building up that relationship, but I ended up actually getting sick with liver tumors about 5 years ago. And she lives in Florida. I live in Tennessee. And she voluntarily flew up on a plane to take care of me and my son while I was healing from my surgery. And while she was here, we just something changed. We became like the best. She was my mom.
Oh,
We
wow.
had such a close relationship. She did everything for me, and voluntarily. I did not ask her. She voluntarily flew on a plane to come to take care of me, and she showed me who she is, and she is amazing.
I was going to say, don't you love when that happens? But of course, you were sort of in a bad way at that point, so probably not.
I had a 12% of my liver removed,
Oof.
which I'm very stubborn. So I was up in the floor playing with my son not a week later, and she's screaming at me, "Get off the floor!" But I'm glad she was there to take care of me, and I'll just forever be very grateful to her for everything she's done.
But over time, you've sort of become part of a larger deaf community, is that right?
It's funny because when you're part of the deaf community, those who are not blood family, they're still family. So if you have a birthday party and the deaf community is there, you're going to have 20 more people who are cousins, aunts, whatever, but they're not actually relatives, but they feel like family. So you get to know everybody, and they're all so sweet. And they all want to take the time to communicate with you, even if you don't know sign well, you can't sign, period. Sometimes you don't even need to talk, just their vibe and hugging you, and you have this instant connection, that human connection.
What would you suggest for someone that doesn't know how to sign as far as trying to communicate with a deaf person?
If you don't know how to sign, there's a few things you can do. You can write it down on a piece of paper. That's mostly what me and my mother-in-law do when we can't actually communicate with each other. Text, writing down on paper. Any way you could think of communicating with someone that may not be face to face or they need to read it, use it. A chalkboard, anything you can think of. But mostly everyone has a phone in their hand. Use your phone. You can communicate with anyone with your phone. Type it out like a text, show it to them. They'll use their phone to text you right back, even though you're right in front of each other. You've got a good, handy piece of communication technology. It can be amazing.
I started realizing, there are apps to sort of translate foreign languages.
Yes,
So
there is.
all a deaf person would need is to be able to read something, but if they can't hear it, you can't really translate speech if they can't read lips.
Technology, though, it's so amazing because I think I talked to you about this before. They have video relay. You see a video of the person you're talking to and a translator, and that translator speaks any language and translates what that deaf person is saying to you. You tell them in your language, and they sign right back to the deaf person.
That's right. We did talk about that because when this whole thing came up, it sort of reminded me of a situation I was facing when I sort of built this podcast in the first place, which was the challenge of actually having someone who is deaf on the show.
Right.
And I still don't know exactly how I would do that. Because, especially without video, a translator wouldn't really work very well. And part of the reason I don't have video yet is because my camera on my laptop sucks.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Video is the easiest way. If you can't do video, I would find a guest who is hard of hearing but can read lips too,
Yeah.
because that's a really amazing talent they can do. And I would say that would be your best bet because, like I said, hard of hearing people are still deaf.
That's an interesting thing to bring up because I would feel like that sort of goes against what people with most other disabilities would feel. Because, like, if somebody, let's say, had a limp or something, they wouldn't consider themselves needing to use a wheelchair or something like that.
Right.
So, it's interesting to me that hard of hearing people actually consider themselves deaf. Because I think across the board in the disabled community, there is that, I don't know if it's a stigma or not, that stubbornness that some people have of, oh, I don't need this help. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. The majority of the hard of hearing people that I've met use a hearing aid. So that also brings up the idea of someone who's born deaf and might be able to use a hearing aid to hear. And then you have a hard of hearing person who prefers a hearing aid. It makes you wonder, do they prefer it because they have that ability to hear a little bit and they want to hear more? So it's kind of a split down the middle there.
I don't know how technical you can get with this, but how does it work for someone that is actually deaf, like no hearing at all, and not an implant, but you put a hearing aid on them
Right.
and they can hear something? How does that work?
Oh, I wish I could answer that question. I do know it works through some kind of frequency. Because when I hug my mother-in-law, if I get on the side of her hearing aid, whichever ear she's wearing it, if I get too close, it makes a loud, and we both jump like to the ceiling because it's so loud. So there's some kind of radio wave signal in there that does that.
That's the same sound my mic makes when I put my cell phone too close to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same concept. It's so loud. I know it has to hurt her ear. And she has told me, even though she is deaf, that she can still hear certain frequencies. So it must be that frequency. She can hear an alarm going off, like a fire truck. She can hear a glass breaking in the kitchen if it falls, but she can't hear someone talking to her face to face. So it has to be that specific frequency that she can hear.
Can she speak?
Not clearly, no. Like I told you before, when she starts speaking, I'm in trouble and I go hide. When she's mad enough to actually have speech come out, I'm like, I'm out of there. I'm in trouble. I don't know what I've done, but I'm getting out of here.
Let's go into that a little bit. You would know by now, but how did you discover that, for example, she would only speak when she's angry?
She actually verbalizes when she speaks, but it's not coherent speech, it's noise. So if she's saying Nikki, it doesn't come out as Nikki, it comes out as coherently. So there's still sounds, incoherently, I'm sorry. So there's still sounds coming out, but it's not, I would say, legible to hear. But if she gets mad and she's screaming, it comes out a little better, and you can actually hear a word. I know some deaf people who don't speak at all. She tries. When she signs, when she speaks to me, she has words come out, but you just can't understand them.
Going back to the article that I posted that you obviously read,
Yes.
did it resonate with you because you know people that can speak but choose not to?
Yes, definitely.
It's a very long article, but I do want to give people the chance to read it if they would choose to do so. But in your experience, why do they not like to speak?
Well, I think it's up to the individual themselves. I've never specifically asked someone who is deaf that I know why they don't use language, why they don't attempt to speak, because I feel like it's a personal decision and it's not really my business. They can have any reason. I know my mother-in-law verbalizes with speech the best she can, but I've met many people who don't try at all. And I just don't ask. And actually, there's more people I know that don't try to speak than do. My mother-in-law seems to be a rarity.
When you were first, let's say, a hearing person within a deaf community,
Yes.
did you find that standoffish at all? That people just wouldn't even try to speak?
Sometimes when you're around a big group of people and you have some hearing and some deaf people, they tend to kind of group together with the deaf people and the hearing people. And if you don't have someone to translate, say for my mother-in-law who's over here at my house for a family dinner, she's completely lost. Same thing with me. If I'm with a group of them and I can't keep up, I'm completely lost. So there's kind of an outside thing there where you feel like someone's not going to be included. Someone's not going to want to translate every second someone's speaking. And believe me, they speak fast. So sometimes you can't even keep up if you're not doing it day after day after day. My husband, of course, was raised with English and sign, and sometimes he can't keep up.
I know some people that know sign language just because of experiences like you've had. I don't know it, but I kind of feel that way about it, that it would be very hard to learn just because it's so fast. It's
Extremely fast.
really not that different in that way from learning any other foreign language.
To me, it was extremely hard because you can learn single words easily, but when you start throwing them together, it's different. Because when you're raised like we are with English and standard sentence structure, they don't speak sign with standard sentence structure. They short everything. So if you say, you are beautiful, they would just say you beautiful, or, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Everything is shortened. So it's not complete sentence structure. And sometimes our brains are like, wait a second, slow down. What are you saying? It doesn't make sense. But then they repeat it and, oh, you finally get it. And I do that a lot of times when I'm texting my mother-in-law. About 99% of the time, I can totally get what she's saying, but she also texts like she signs. So sometimes I'm missing important key parts of the sentence and I have to say, hey, what's going on? I don't want to ask her because I'm embarrassed. What is she saying? And then someone will tell me, oh, I think this is what it is, instead of just asking her, which I should. But when you leave out important parts of the sentence and you're used to like us, you're very confused.
Well, you know, I think it's up to the individuals to decide which parts of a sentence are important, you know.
That's pretty much how it is. They include the important parts because they don't have to include the little parts to get their point across. That's what we do as hearing people. They have their own way of doing things and you have to adjust.
Do you feel like you have adjusted?
Yes, especially over time. Like I said, it's been over a decade.
Yeah.
It took many years, a lot of confusion. Sometimes you think they're almost insulting. And you have to go around and reread what you think you're seeing. Oh, this is nothing. This, they mean something else. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Just, this means what it means. Don't look too much into it. This is what's happening. So I feel like I have adjusted now, whereas 2 years in my marriage, I would have been like, what does she mean by that? Now I'd be like, oh, I understand.
I mean, it's just another thing to get used to. And again,
it is.
I have a disability myself. It's not a hearing loss or anything like that, but I do really feel like disabilities kind of across the board have that in common, that the more you're around them, the easier it is just to maybe not even forget about it, just accept it.
I agree with that. It doesn't seem unusual to you because it's your life. That's why sometimes I said I forget, oh, that's right. My mother-in-law is deaf because that's part of our family. It's what we know. It's not different to us. This is our life.
There have been times when I would be invited somewhere by other people and those other people would either be like, oh, I forgot to tell you, you know, there's no accessible entrance here. Or like, it's the other way where they have to tell somebody else, oh, I forgot to tell you Nate's in a wheelchair.
Oh my goodness. When it comes to accessibilities, that's a real big problem that I've seen as well. Because when you're deaf, if you have to call 911, there's not a translator. Half the time when you go to the doctor, there's not a translator. And by law, they're supposed to require one. So what do? You have to write it down on a piece of paper. And when COVID hit, and my mother-in-law, who could not hear, could not speak, she would have to write down what she wanted. They wouldn't even take her paper. Because they didn't want to take it over. I'm like, they're literally denying you any communication.
I can't believe I didn't bring this up yet, especially with a couple of different things that we talked about. But aside from text, how does a deaf person use a phone? Like to call 911?
Everything my mother-in-law does is typically through video relay. As far as 911, I don't think she's ever had to call. But if she did, I would say she would probably just call it and hang up and they would come anyways or use video relay. That makes it very difficult. She said they have a big problem. Deaf people drive. A lot of people don't even realize this, but they drive a car. They've been pulled over before and a cop was like, give me your information. They're like, I can't hear you. I'm deaf. And they try to tell them and the cop will literally put them in the back of the cop car thinking they're just being defiant. Not giving them a chance to explain, I'm deaf, I can't understand you. She said that's a big problem that she's seen before.
There are different issues to go along with people with different disabilities doing things like driving. In my case, it was definitely possible, but it just took a long time to get through the red tape of it. Obviously, people with vision impairments probably shouldn't drive.
Exactly.
You know, that's not to say some of them don't. I don't know.
I'm sure they do. When you think about it, a deaf person should be allowed to drive. I've seen many people driving with their Bluetooth in. so they can't hear what's going on either.
That's a good point. I'm trying to think of anything you really would need to hear while you're driving. And short of any emergency on the road, I don't know that there is.
You would basically just look for the lights, and that's what they would notice. As far as like waking up, I had a big question from my mother-in-law about how do you get up in the morning? I would sleep all day if I couldn't hear an alarm clock. And she said they actually make an alarm clock that goes underneath your mattress that vibrates the mattress, which I think is the coolest thing in the world. And she said they even make baby monitors for deaf people where a flashing light will go off if the baby needs anything. If the baby's crying, it flashes and it wakes them up.
I actually think I've heard of the vibration thing. The flashing lights, I mean, that's sort of technology that already exists. Like, not specifically for deaf people, but for example, in restaurants that are crowded and you can't hear anything, other than like crowd noise, they have
Right.
that kind of stuff to tell you when your table's ready or whatever.
I love that little vibration bed thing. I'm a terrible morning person. I need that thing to kick me out of bed. Like, I need to buy one of those just to wake myself up.
You
'Cause
and
that
me
was my
both.
biggest question. Yeah, like, how do you get up if you don't have an alarm clock? It vibrates the bed. That's genius.
I've never needed an alarm clock, but I was a terrible morning person until I spent my first 7 years in radio in an overnight shift.
Oh, third shift.
And I would stay up, I would be working until 5 in the morning,
Oh my
if
goodness.
not later. So after I quit that, I was like, okay, I don't need to be in bed all day anymore.
You get on that routine, don't you? My husband's a third shifter and he works 12-hour shifts on third. So we kind of have opposite schedules where he's in bed all day, I'm in bed at night. So we just kind of roll with it. But I know how that is. It's hard to get on schedule
Yeah.
going from third to first.
And now I sort of do this show whenever I want, so.
Heck yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, I've never done one at like 5 in the morning. Although
Oh, I would not be a good person to have on your show at 5 in the morning. I would be so mean. I'm a terrible morning person.
I usually don't do them in the mornings just because, I'm doing this out of my house. There's a lot of background noise that tends to happen in the mornings and stuff. Another thing that I've noticed about that time of day when I've had to do shows anyway at that time, my voice is different in the morning.
I can understand that. Mine is too.
Yeah. That's how out of it I am until about noon or something.
I don't even like to speak until like 11. My family knows, don't talk to her. She's a monster. Yeah, till 11 p.m. then you can talk to me.
Well, yeah, and we're doing this at, it's almost 10 o'clock in the evening now, so can't keep you too much longer because we both got to get sleep.
I know, eventually, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be too much of a monster in the morning.
Plus, again,
Well,
I'm, go ahead.
do you have any questions about the deaf community?
This is the first show that sort of put a real hard focus on that community that I've done.
Right.
And because that disability is so different from mine, I'm sort of just more listening than worrying about asking questions.
That makes sense. It's
Yeah.
interesting. It really is. One thing a lot of people ask me is, and I had to ask Gloria, which is my mother-in-law, do you hear your own thoughts in your head since you can't speak? Do you
Ah.
hear your own voice? And she said, yes, she hears her own voice in her head. So that's an interesting thing.
I'm not even sure I hear my own voice in my head
I
because,
know.
you
It's
know.
your conscience, really, isn't it? It doesn't sound like me. It just sounds like a voice, but to her, it sounds like her own voice.
Well, here's what I mean by that. I'm wearing headphones right now. In my headphones, my voice sounds a certain way. But tomorrow or the next day, I'll go back, listen to the show, edit it some, and put it out. And 99 times out of 100, my voice will sound different when I play it back than it does in my own head right now.
Yes, I totally agree to that. And then you hear your voice and you're like, this is me? I sound like this? Ugh, it's terrible. Especially when you do podcasts, they're like, oh, this is bad.
Well, I got over that part a long time ago.
Ugh, because, it's still bad for me.
Well, I wanted a career in radio. I always did. So the first half of it before COVID was primarily, if not exclusively, in production. Then I got a chance to be on the air. Once I got that, I was like, okay, I need to actually start listening to the work that I do.
Yes.
In order to actually improve.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So when I tell you that I got over that a long time ago, it's really true.
Because you had to kind of learn from your own voice.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have that sort of fear of whether it be public speaking or, you know, just...
Oh, yes.
Just maybe humiliating themselves from something that they say or whatever.
That just touched my soul because that's me entirely. I'm so scared of public speaking. It's not even funny. It's terrible. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with podcasts, but public speaking in general is terrible for me.
See, I would be the one to do it because nobody else wanted to.
Oh, that's totally different from me.
This is going back to when I was much younger. But eventually, that manifested in people actually liking my speaking voice. And so I was like, okay, let me do something with this. And that I got more used to speaking in front of people. Throughout high school, I also would speak at other schools about having my disability.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. I even got paid for it once, which was something that I should have prepared better for, but...
It didn't turn out well.
I was a senior in high school at the time, and I was coming off a situation in which I had won a gold medal in powerlifting on the national level in just adaptive sports. It was in a small local paper that I'd done this. And this school caught wind of it, and they invited me and paid me $100 to make speech. Between that and the gold medal, I had also had spinal fusion surgery.
Oh, goodness.
So I was recovering from that. I didn't look anything like I should have as like a powerlifting champion because like I couldn't work out. And
I think that's very understandable.
Yeah, but I think part of the reason I just wasn't prepared for it is looking back on it, I probably had the worst case of imposter syndrome I ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was speaking about things that I just didn't really look the part for at that point.
Oh, no. I think it was probably a lot better than you're giving yourself credit for.
I don't really remember. I can tell you I've gotten better since.
Well, I can't attest to that because I didn't know you then, but you're pretty awesome now, so keep doing your thing.
Well, maybe we ought to end on that note. Before I prove you wrong.
Can't get any better than this. Bye.
You called me awesome. I don't want to prove you wrong, so maybe we just...
It's like, and that's where we end. Goodbye. I got it out of her. She finally said it.
Oh, man. It's always fun having you on the show. It really is.
Oh, I love coming on the show. It's fun. It always is. It makes me goofy.
This makes you goofy? I mean...
Okay, this is my natural personality. You got it out of me. I'm goofy all the time. You made me say it. Dang.
Well, I do know you a little bit by now. You've been on 3 times, so...
Exactly. You've come to expect it.
But that's part of the fun. Thanks again to Nikki for being on the show for now a 3rd time. Thanks to everybody else for listening. Remember, we are on Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. Soon to be on TikTok, as soon as I figure that out, too. Links will be in the description. Until next time, this is Nate Lurie saying, you don't always have to do a lot to inspire others.